Today's message, a little provocative title this morning, it is this, 10 Virgins and 3 Businessmen. Can you say that with me? 10 Virgins and 3. Doesn't sound good to me. Let's look at it. See what Jesus said. This is right from the Word of God. We've covered chapter 24 in what's known as the Olivet Discourse. I hadn't been using that word a lot, but that's what Matthew 24 and Matthew 25 is known as, the Olivet Discourse, where Jesus Christ talks to His disciples. He tells them that the temple will be destroyed. They ask Him, what is the signs of Your coming again, and when will the end of the world be? And so in Matthew 24 and 25, He answers those questions that they ask Him. Okay? It's the longest passage of Scripture that we have on any question that was asked Jesus Christ. He gives us more detail and more information about these questions, about His coming again and the end of the world, than any other question asked Him in the Word of God. So it's very important, and He wants you get it, and I want you to get it today. We're now covered chapter 24. We're flipping our page. We're in chapter 25. Let's go. Jesus gives us 3 parables in Matthew 25. We're going to look at 2 of them today. Roger, we're clicking. Today we're going to look at a couple of these this morning. The parable of the 10 virgins and the parable of the talents, i.e. 3 businessmen. Okay? So let's look at them this morning. And what does this have to do with Jesus coming again? What does this have to do with the end of the world? Well, He's the one that said it. I didn't say it. If you're sitting here thinking, that doesn't have anything to do with the end of the world, well, I guess it does. They asked Him this question, and He gave the stories. So I guess it has something to do with it. Amen? Oh, me. Amen? Come on. Let's look at it. Parable of the 10 virgins. Matthew 25, 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps. And by the way, you'll see the little lamp. And I've been to the Middle East many times over the years. And Roger's got it right on. The little lamp you're going to see, it looks a lot like it. So listen, they took their lamps and they went forth to meet the bridegroom. Jesus telling a story. Let's look at it. Before we can understand this story, we've got to put first things first. We've got to understand something. We've got to understand a Jewish wedding. Okay? This is a story. 10 virgins, Jewish wedding, has something to do with His coming again. The end of the world. So let's look at it and see what we can find. There are 3 basic parts to a Jewish wedding. Let's look at them. Number 1, just some review stuff so it will help our head this morning. Part number 1. Part 1 of a Jewish wedding. The parents of the children agree on the marriage and establish a dowry. Now, what am I talking about? Why do I call them children? Because, quite frankly, in the Middle East, a lot of times the weddings, they were arranged weddings, but they would arrange them when they were kids. Many times they would plan it when they were a kid, and the two families would get together. And there were a couple of things involved, especially the parents of the daughter wanted to make sure the dude had a job. Are you hearing me today? Say. And how are you going to provide for my baby? And by the way, when Elise gets older, gets going that direction, get this tape. This is Dad talking. I'll whoop your hind end. Look at it right there. Okay? Anyway, sorry, I got off track. But that's what they did. Not only did they make sure they were established financially and that she would be okay and the two of them would make it, but I like this deal. The bride's family got some money too. Now what's the deal now? Isn't it the deal now that who pays for the wedding? Don't be pointing at me. How did that all get changed like that? What's wrong with us? Now anyway, so there was the pronouncement, etc., and the putting together of the two, and that was the first stage. Stage 2, part 2. Watch it. The bridegroom, along with his brothers and his friends, would go to the bride's house to claim her as his very own. As the wedding is getting closer and the marriage vows are going to be taken, he would go and claim her as his very own. There's a lot more to this than I'm telling you, but this is basically simple. This was usually done in the evening, and the bride, say it with me, would be prepared for his coming. Sounds like something else I read in the Bible. Keep looking. She would then join the bridegroom and return with him to his house. His house, we mean his what? Father's house. Doesn't that sound just a lot like Scripture we know? Say, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jewish wedding. Got to understand it. Part three of the Jewish wedding, there would be a huge party. So he would go pick up the bride. There would be this huge long procession back to his father's house, and there would be this huge party. It would often last for 1 week. After these events, they would return to their own home and establish their home together. And somebody that knows a lot more about this than I do said, and they'd also have, and I talked to him in our service today, said that they would also take a year off. That's some serious honeymooning right there. Now, what I'm talking about. A year off! Hey, you can't take a year off, Jack, if you don't have no money. Go back to point one. Amen? Very important. So that's the part of the wedding. Now let's look at our story. 10 virgins. And 5 of them, the virgins that went forth to the bridegroom, the wedding, all that, 5 of the virgins were wise. 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps. Look, I got my lamp. Ain't got no oil in it. The wise took oil in their vessels. Look, got my lamp. It's got oil in it. So what have we seen so far? Pop it up real quick. 5 virgins were foolish. They took lamps with what? Listen, let me say something to you. If you're getting ready for a hurricane and you got your flashlights, get batteries. It's just crazy. They got their lamps. They're going to this big procession. It happens a lot of times in the evening. They probably arrived before it was dark. But still, no oil. Foolish. The wise had oil. Okay? They took oil in their lamps. So 5 foolish, 5 wise. Let's keep looking. While the bridegroom tarried, verse 5, we're just rolling with the Scripture, they all slumbered and slept. What's that mean? Simple. The bridegroom delayed his coming. He was coming. They knew he was coming. And the virgins were going to be there to help along the way. Doesn't mean they're an integral part of this whole celebration. They are a part. They're going to provide what? Light. Look, you got, yeah, walk this way. We can light them up. You see what I'm saying? So that was their job to give light. What did Jesus say we were? We are the light of the world. We're a city that's set on a hill. Amen? We don't put our candle under a basket and hide it, right? They were going to be lighting the way. But guess what? The bridegroom delayed his coming. And they all got sleepy, which is normal. Did you know what? I get sleepy every evening. Yeah, every evening. I doze off. You know, that's what happened to them. This was normal. Keep moving. What do we see? We're going somewhere. At midnight, this is Jesus' story, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom comes. Go ye out to meet him. Well, they were sleeping. But that's okay. It's all right to get a nap now and then. They were dozing. But they woke up. It was the midnight call. There was a song I sang years ago. The midnight cry, the bride of Christ shall rise. That's a good song, man. We got to sing that again. Come on, one more time. The bridegroom comes. So they made the call. The bridegroom's coming. But watch it. They were sleeping. They were dozing off. Then all those virgins arose and they trimmed their lamps. What does that mean? They, got to get my match. You know? And the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and get your own oil. So what's the Scripture saying? Real simple. We're talking about the last days. This is Jesus' story. So what happened? They all got up. They began working to light their lamps. But watch it. The problem was only 5 of the lamps actually worked. So you can see, this is just plain English. This doesn't take a rocket science to build this out, figure this out. The five foolish women said, give us some of your oil. And then what did they say? The five women said, the wise one said, no way, Jose. Yeah, because they were Jewish, not Spanish. Amen? No way, Jose. Yeah. Okay? Ha, 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 ha. We thought Harry was the funny guy, didn't we? He is the funny guy. I'm not very funny. They said, there's not enough for both us and you too. And you know what? We can crack on these ladies that didn't share their oil. But the lamps are about this big. Okay? If they give half their oil into these other lamps, it's dark. They start walking. They both run out of light before they get there. Is that smart? Yes or no? No. And they knew they needed oil. They couldn't share their oil. They wasn't going to share their oil. They couldn't share their oil because they wouldn't have enough oil to make it all the way themselves and to light the path. So there was no possibility. They couldn't do it. So they said, no, you're not getting it. Go out there and get you some other oil. But the problem was, it was late, wasn't it? Where you buy oil this time of the night? Are you hearing the story? Say, you're starting to do the math and connect the dots about the last days and the end times and Jesus coming again. We will. We'll get them a little closer. Say, go get your own. Keep looking. So what happened? What happened in the story? Back to the Bible. The Scripture. And while they went to buy, which ones? The wise one or the foolish ones? Foolish ones. While the foolish ones went to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Say that with me. The bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Afterward also the other virgins came, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us! But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, say it with me, I know you not. How many ever had somebody come to your wedding and you really didn't know them too well? See your hand, okay? Not everybody's always the best man, are they? Not everybody's always in the up on stage in the big wedding party. Some people help park. Some people do different things. You know what? He said, I don't know you. Just keep looking. When they got back to the procession, they wanted to walk from the bride's house to the groom's father's house. They were already in the father's house. It was too late. And the door was shut. Keep looking. The party had started. Let me tell you something, friend. You don't want to miss the party. Say. You don't miss the party. Do you see how Jesus told stories? You understand? He would tell stories like this, and if you're clued in, you would get it. If you're not clued in, you wouldn't get it. That's why he talked in parables. So those that wanted to learn would get it. And they would get a deeper understanding and a deeper meaning. And those that didn't want to understand, those that didn't want to believe in the Lord, would go right over their head and out the window. I don't know about you, but I'm getting it. Are you getting it? Say, I'm getting something. Let's keep looking. The bridegroom said, I don't know you. What we learn? What we learn about the 10 virgins? We're fixing to get to the three businessmen. Matthew 25:13, we're just walking through the Scriptures. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man comes. Did you hear it? Review with me. Do we know when Jesus is coming again? Yes or no? No. Say it with me. No man knows. No angel knows. Not even the Son of Man knows. So somebody's setting dates. They're nuts. Don't listen to them. They're not teaching you the Bible. They're wrong. This is what the Bible says. Say it with me again. Watch therefore, for ye know not neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man comes. So what did we learn? Pop it up. Number one, we don't know when Jesus is coming again. That's what we learned from this story. Do you think that any in our story knew the bridegroom was really going to be late like that? You think they knew right when he was coming? You know, they slept, they slumbered, they were dozing off. They didn't know. We don't know when Jesus is coming again. Nobody knows. Number two, we can and must know that we're born again through Jesus Christ. That's what you need to know. Instead of getting off on a tangent over here and saying, when's Jesus going? When's Jesus going? When's Jesus going? And focusing on that, why don't you focus on what you can know? Amen? You hearing me? You can know today that you're a Christian. You know why I know I'm a Christian? Because I was there when it happened. I was saved as a 15 and a half year old hell-raising boy, and my mama was a drunk. She had been watching Billy Graham on television, drunk in her seat before the days of remote control. She said, we're going to church in the morning. I cussed her out. I didn't want to go. But next morning, to keep some preacher from taking our last dollar, we didn't have a car or anything. We walked to church, and it was there, after 3 weeks of doing that, I heard that Jesus Christ loved me, and I accepted Him, and I put my faith in Him. How do I know I'm a Christian? I was there when it happened. If you're here today and you say, I don't know, Pastor, if I die, go to heaven. Why don't we nail that today? Why don't we just settle that in your life today? And then you can say, I was there when it happened. It happened on the 22nd of October when Fellowship Church was meeting in a high school auditorium. That's when I was saved. That's when I got born again. That's when I believed in Christ. You don't know when He's coming again, but you can and must know that you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Number three, what else did we learn from this little story? We cannot make other people believe in Jesus Christ. It's their personal decision. Let me tell you something, friend. I can't give you my all. And I ain't giving you my all. You hear me? I got saved. I can share my story with you, but I can't transport you back to Rockingham, North Carolina, to Temple Baptist Church under the preaching of Eddie Zimmerman. I can't do that for you. You're going to have to do that for yourself. You're going to have to get the all for yourself. Now, here's what I can do. I can tell you how to get the all. And I can tell you they're running a special. It's free. Get you some oil, buddy. Don't you know if there was free gas here in Englewood? Tell me about it. But there's free salvation in Jesus Christ. And some of you are listening to my voice today, and you're still putting it off. There's not going to be any mercy. When the door's shut, He's going to say, I don't know you. That's what He's going to say. That's how it's going to happen. That's how it's going to shake down that day. Boy, this story's pretty, it's got a lot of stuff, don't it? Wow. Look at the next thing. It's foolish to wait to the last minute to believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Well, I know I got them all, but I won't do it now. I'll wait till a later date. There's some of you today, you've waited your whole life. And here you are, you're a vessel, just like I'm a vessel. But there's a difference. I'm not better than you, I'm probably worse than you in a lot of things. But the bottom line is, old Clark's got oil in him. Amen? I know I'm a Christian. I know it. And it doesn't matter to me a hoot if you come again or you go here or go. It doesn't affect my salvation one iota. Because my faith's in Him. Not in you. And your faith shouldn't be in me. It should be in Him. People let you down, man. Get your oil. Have you got it? Say. Why not get it today? Before the bridegroom comes. Did Jesus say He was coming again, yes or no? Did He say the world would end as we know it, yes or no? He even gave us several signs. And when we looked at the signs, are we seeing a lot of these signs, yes or no? To me, do the math means get the all. Amen? Get the all. Now let's look. Behold, now is the accepted time. 2 Corinthians. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Salvation is a personal choice. You can make that choice today. I wish you would. Let's look. That's the 10 virgins, the 3 businessmen. I'm not preaching another message. This is part of it. And actually, our time's going pretty good. Well, what about the 3 businessmen? I'm glad to say the 3 businessmen had nothing to do with the 10 virgins. Amen? Isn't that good? Yay! Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right? But they're very important. Jesus, same subject. Now, when we started out this series, we talked about you can take God's, Jesus Christ's word to the bank. He's given prophecies before, and He has fulfilled those prophecies. And you can take His word to the bank. He said He was coming again. And we've established 3 things that we should be doing. And He gave stories in chapter 24 about this, especially the tail end of chapter 24. He said this, you are to be paying attention to things around you in your world. He said, be on alert. Pay attention to what's happening in your world for these signs, for these things. That's a good thing to pay attention. It's not a good thing to become a nut, okay? You pay so much attention that you're not a bit of good anybody, okay? Don't do that. You can get sucked into mess life if you start doing that. Number two, he says, be watching. Be watching. The good man of the house, if he had known the hour the thief was coming, he would have watched and he wouldn't have been broken into, Jesus said in Matthew 24. So be watching. The last thing Jesus said was about a story in Matthew 24 where a servant didn't think his Lord and he started beating the workers. Remember that? What was the point? You're going to give an account one day. You're going to give an account. So I think the virgins, that told us that we should be watching, right? Say, pay attention. Got any oil? Get some. Okay? Pay attention. When your bridegroom's coming, be watching. This last story, the three businessmen, has to do with, listen, you're going to give an account. You're going to give an account one day. I'm going to give an account one day. Let's look at it. The parable of the three talents, or as I like to call it, the three businessmen. Let's look at it. Matthew 25:13, that verse is right there in the middle. Watch therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour when the Son of Man is going to come. And then he goes into this story. Look at it. A couple of statements. Watching and waiting doesn't mean sitting. Can you say that with me? Watching and waiting doesn't mean... Now, I hope you stay here with me. We ain't got much longer hanging here with me. Watching and waiting doesn't mean sitting. I'm going to watch for Jesus to come while all the world goes to hell. That ain't our job. We're to be involved. Amen? Everybody can do something. Get a t-shirt. Get a magnet. Do something where you can tell people, come to church. And if it's not this church, make sure it's a church where the gospel's preached, where they can have a chance, for crying out loud, of getting saved and going to heaven. That's what church is about. Huge part. So do something. Don't just be sitting till Jesus comes. We're to be watching and we're to be working. And that's what this story is all about. Don't miss it. Watch it. Matthew 25:14-15. The kingdom of heaven is as a man. Jesus telling stories again. Traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents. To another, 2 talents. And to another one, 1 talent. To every man according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey. Roger, let's zip it through here. A talent was a sum of money. Often when we see this, we think of talent. We think, well, I can sing. We think, I can speak. We think, I can do this. That's not wrong to think that. That's not wrong to look at this, but you really need to look at it in what it's saying, though, too. Okay? Let's look at what it's saying. A talent's a sum of money. Now listen to me. In Jesus' day, a talent would be the equivalent to 20 years' worth of savings. I'm not talking about somebody out of work for 20 years, so after 20 years they didn't have any savings. We're talking about somebody who is diligent, who's a hard worker, who's taking care of his family. He's not spending foolishly. He's saving wisely. Why? How many thinks a person get rich like that if you start having that kind of thinking in your life? You work hard and you're diligent. You don't overspend. Over 20 years, you can probably own a home and have a little retirement money. Do we still believe that in America? Yes or no? I still believe it, friend. And that's what this is what's doing. This is the amount. About 20 years of savings. Keep looking. A talent equaled about $500,000 in today's money. Whoa, $500,000. That's a lot of money. Let me tell you something. There are people in this auditorium. It doesn't mean you're rich. It means you've worked hard. You have a home. You have some savings. You might have a home up north. And if you sold everything, you'd be worth more than that. Because you've worked hard. And you've got retirement that's coming to you and money that's coming to you. So this is the amount. $500,000, a talent. Businessman number one, he got how many talents? 5 times 500,000 equals how much? 2.5 million. Whoa! By the way, was this money given to him for him to have as his own? Was it his money he could go spend? Yes or no? No, it was not. It belonged to his Lord, his master, his boss. It was given to him to invest. Businessman number two. 2 talents times $500,000 equals how much money? $1 million. Businessman number three. 1 talent, $500,000. You know what? I always felt sorry for this guy. I don't feel sorry for him anymore. Do you? Say, poor guy just got 1 talent. That's all he got. I tell you something, if I give you $500,000 and I'm gone, you work for me, and I'm gone for 5 or 10 years, and I come back and all you got is my $500,000, you won't work for me anymore. Period. Right? Say, a gnat could do better than that. We're going to look at a story. Look at it. Do the math. Jesus is talking about His coming again. Got to keep that in mind. Matthew 25, 16 to 17. Then he that had received the 5 talents, the guy that had 5 talents, 2.5 mil, he went and traded with the same and made him how many more talents? 5. He doubled it. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained 2. He what? Doubled it. Keep looking. So let's do the math again. Businessman number 1 invested diligently and wisely. 2.5 million, help me class, plus 2.5 million equals how much? Happy, 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 boss man coming, amen. Pretty good job, buddy. Keep looking. Businessman number 2, invested diligently and wisely. 1 million plus 1 million equals 2 million. Let's watch the story. 25:18. But he that received 1 talent, how much is 1 talent again? Tell me. He went and dig a hole in the earth and put his Lord's money in it. If you're not careful, when you read this passage of Scripture, you can think this guy did a good thing. Can't you? How many have ever done that before? Don't raise your hand, but you did. You did a good thing. What's wrong with that? Boy, he's got a mean boss, man. $500,000? I don't think so. He dug a hole in the earth. Put it up. He hid it where nobody could find it. Here is his investment that his Lord had put into his keeping, and he hid it so nobody could find it. Number 2. He took no risk and he did no work. God's just not going to be happy with us if we don't take risk in this life. Especially for His kingdom. Is this about the kingdom? This story about the kingdom, yes or no? It's about His coming again. Okay? He took no risk. He did no work. He wasted his chances. Dig me a hole, put it in the ground, dig it up. No investment whatsoever. He wasted his opportunity. He was irresponsible. Keep moving. He was afraid. He lacked faith. He had very little regard for his master. Say it with me. He's a failure. Wow. Keep looking. How does this relate to you and me today? A lot of Christians are afraid to serve the Lord all out. I've been doing this since I was 18 years old in high school. Went off to college, started serving the Lord full time in training, which doesn't mean anything, except I've seen a lot of people. This is true. A lot of people are afraid to serve the Lord all out. They'd rather take what little bit they got, whether it's funds or it's their testimony, and they'd just dig it in a hole, and they're content to live there. They're scared to serve the Lord all out, man. Keep looking. Something else. They're afraid to lead and take responsibility. Oh, no, I could never do that. And they'll still quote, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But they take no responsibility. A lot of Christians in the church like that. They're afraid to give to God's work. Some people, here I try to make it easy as possible as I can. Just give cheerfully is what we say here. But a lot of times that offering bag comes around, people turn away. Oh gosh, scared to death. You understand? Scared to death to give their money. There's no way I was like that. There's no way, Joy, we can give part of our salary. We're going to starve to death, crazy woman. That's what I told her. Did I starve to death? Yes or no? Didn't happen. God's good, man, but we're scared. We're afraid. Listen to me. Dow Jones don't hold a candle to God when it comes to being tough on investment returns. Let me tell you something. You watch the stock market. I do. You watch the stock market sometimes, and you'll get a report how they're predicting we're going to go up this many cents a share. If they don't hit that goal, their stock tanks at the Dow Jones that day. Let me tell you something. Dow Jones don't hold a candle to God when it comes to being tough on investment returns. We say God is love and God is love. But let me say, you can put in another liner, God is tough. God is tough on what He's given us, the abilities He's given us, the money He's given us, He expects a profit. Can you say that with me? God expects... Well, God's not big on money. Let me tell you something. He expects a profit. That's His bottom line. We talk, what's the bottom line, man? God has a bottom line. What'd you do with what I gave you? Because I'm coming again, and you might be doing old hunky-dory right now, but one day I'm coming back. It's not going to be too pretty. That's what this story's all about. Keep looking. A day of reckoning, the Lord returns. That's what this story says. I'm not much longer. Thank you for listening. Matthew 25, 19 through 23. Read verse 19 with me. Come on. After a long time, the Lord of those servants comes and He reckons with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, You delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, You delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. What have we seen? These two were what? Say it with me. Excited about the Lord's return. Are you excited about Jesus coming again? Are you excited? That one day you can tell Him, Look, Lord. Look at my kids, Jesus. Look at them. They're great. Look at them. Look at what we've done as a family. Look at this. Look how we serve the Lord. Not that you're bragging, but you're saying, Look, Lord, I tried while I was here to make a difference. Not that we don't mess up. Not that we don't slack sometimes. But are you excited about His return? That's what I'm talking about. I don't know what the signs of the time are. What are you doing with the 50 cents you got? That's what gets you excited, man. Look, we did this. We gave this for Your glory. And I'm excited. Let me tell you about it, Lord. That's awesome. Or you've been tithing over the years, and you can look and say, Look, Lord, look, I used to do this, and now I'm doing this, Lord. And look, I got all this stuff to boot. You bless me, God. They each received, watch it, commendations, promotions, and what? Vacations. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That's what good employees get, friend. They get commendations. They get promotions. Why don't you take an extra week off? Amen? For the great job that you did. What happened to the other guy? We're done, almost. We blame it on Harry. Here we go. Matthew 25. 24, then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not strawed. And I was what? Say it with me. Afraid. I went and hid thy talent. Whose talent? In the earth. Lo, there thou hast is thine. Here's what you gave me, Lord. I give it back to you. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I have sowed not, and I gather where I have not strawed. Now watch this verse. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my what? A talent is what? Money. To the exchangers. And then at my coming, I should have received mine own with interest, with usury. Take therefore the talent from him. And you give it unto him which had 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not, Zippo dug a hole and buried it, shall be taken away, even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wow. What did we learn? Businessman number 3. The Lord said, You're lazy. Secondly, the Lord rebuked him for his pitiful mismanagement. The way you run your finances. I know this ain't a happy, happy-go-lucky message. This morning. The way you manage your finances, God places a premium on that. Are you hearing me today? Say, my money, I do what I want to. I just waste it. You're going to give an account to God for what you're doing. He rebuked him for his pitiful mismanagement. He lost everything. Everything. Look at it. He got nothing. Nothing. The other two, they were excited. He got nothing. No commendation? Somebody guess. No promotion? You think you got a vacation, yes or no? No vacation. Isn't it pitiful in the workforce today? Somebody that's a go-getter, somebody that's successful. You got a bum over here that gets mad because this guy gets something and he don't get something. Guess what? You a bum. And you're lazy, and that's why you don't get anything. Get another job. That's ugly preaching, ain't it? I think that makes a good business. Good company. I get that from the Lord. That's how the Lord is. 10 virgins and 3 businessmen. And we're finished this morning. What did I learn today? Here it is. Don't claim you have no gifts. Don't claim that. You're better than 97% of the world. Don't claim it. Number 2, know you're going to be judged by God according to what He's given you. Know it. Number 3, if you don't use it, say it with me, you'll lose it, friend. Lose opportunities for God. You'll lose influence for the kingdom of God. You'll lose reward that one day others are going to have. And God's going to say, hey, what little bit that I gave you, give me that. Right there. You're going to lose it all. That's what this 10 virgins. Got your all, say. Got your all today? You got a lamp. You got a vessel. You're breathing. You got that thing happening. How about your soul? Has it got oil in it? Oil speaks of the Holy Spirit of the living God throughout the Bible. Do you have the Holy Spirit inside of you? Are you a changed person? Are you a Christian? Do you know that for sure today? Second thing, 3 businessmen. Are you excited about the Lord's return? Say. The other two guys, where were they? I'm excited, Lord. Last verse. First Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Say this part with me. Be ready always, watch it, to give an answer to every man that asks you of a reason of the oil that's in you with meekness and fear. Be watching, be ready. Do you have the oil? Be out there serving. And when Jesus comes, you're going to be excited.